Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me, ladies. Today, we are going to discuss the Women Made New book. And I realize I never discussed my chapter, Unbroken. And then I really just highlighted some wisdom from some of the other contributors because I know everybody, even though it's the holiday season, it's Advent, it's a new time, a lot of people are going through a lot right now. And I just think this book is something that really can help your grandmother, your aunt, your sister, just those women in your life, even if you're at college or your friend that you know is going through a lot and you maybe don't have the right words for her. Maybe this book has the right words for her to help her on a new path and that right direction. But before we get into that, we are going to have a quick minute with Debbie Cowden. So stay tuned.
The second candle on the Advent wreath represents peace. Is it possible for busy parents to have a peaceful Advent? Well, certainly. Debbie Cowden here, and when my husband Dave and I wrote the prayer book for tired parents, we wanted to convey the importance of keeping family life centered around Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And isn't that what or whom the Advent and Christmas seasons are all about? Yes, the gifts are great, the parties are fun, and the nostalgia is palpable. But don't let the bustle of the commercial holiday season distract from the real meaning of Christmas. Jesus, the Savior of the world, coming to save mankind. The things of this world will never truly bring us peace. If you focus on keeping Christ in mind through family prayer, going to Holy Mass, and spending time with Him in Eucharistic adoration, I can guarantee you're setting up yourself and your family for a truly peaceful Advent and Christmas season. For more practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven, get the Prayer Book for Tired Parents at EWTNRC.com. Back to you, Crystalina.
Okay, ladies, let's just get into it, okay? Have you ever felt that you're not enough, that you amount to less than those around you, or that the situation was too much to handle? Did your self-doubt maybe kick in? And did you start questioning, or have you questioned your ability and your own skills that God has given you? Have you maybe felt that you're not deserving of the love and blessings that God has given you? And have you ever, like me, ignored that small, still voice nudging you or saying, don't do this, don't go there, don't say that, don't wear that, don't be friends with those people, don't watch that, right? All of those things I just said are things I've experienced myself. So I can say those things. But unfortunately, there has been so many times in my life where I actually just ignored it. I just ignored that small, still voice on so many occasions. And we're all guilty of it. We all know, because somehow, sometimes I get it, those negative voices seem so much more powerful than that small, still voice telling us to do what is right. And that small, still voice telling me that you have what it takes, that God has given you everything that you need. Just overcome that fear. But that's the thing. Unfortunately, so many times I ignore that small, still voice, and we're all guilty of it, I know, but there's always consequences, and I've experienced that. And that negativity within me and that demonic dialogue seems so much more powerful, and that fear than what God was asking me to do and my faith in those moments, right? And it can be hard and it can be difficult, but I allowed those doubts and insecurities literally to control my life. They literally controlled me, I think, throughout high school. And then I started facing everything that had happened and things that were done to me later in life. But it was still hard and it was still difficult. And for a long time, I really was careless how I chose to live my life. And I really dismissed God's will in my life, His attempts to reach me. And I really had that false notion that I was in control, that I was going to live my life and I was going to live exactly how I wanted. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. Ladies, I was miserable. And then even when I still was confronting all of the sin and the hurt and the shame, I still wanted control, right? I still didn't want to go certain places in my heart or in my memory or just deal with certain brokenness. And I'm telling you, ladies, that everybody listening has a mission. We all have an assignment and a plan that God has for every single one of us. But the problem is, I was too busy ignoring and trying to distract myself. And a lot of people do that with their phones, with the holidays, with other people's problems, or gets consumed with work or their health or their fitness, whatever it may be. But all along, God is constantly pursuing us, right? And it never stopped. And when I finally stopped and I realized what was really going on, and I really learned and accepted that truth that really every decision that we make completely matters and it impacts the rest of our lives. It impacted the rest of my life. It kind of sets the stage and lays the bricks down in our decisions that we're making on a daily basis. And when we go against what we know is right, okay, and when we go against and we feel in the depths of our heart, and we still are doing those actions that we know we're being nudged to stop. Like, for example, maybe you're dating someone that you shouldn't be right now, but you're scared to be alone during this holiday season. So you just put up with it because you're probably thinking, well, it's better than being alone. But is it really? Like, what is the cost? What is the price of staying in that relationship that you know you're not supposed to be in? Because there's always a price, right? Or maybe you're struggling with an addiction to social media or viewing immoral entertainment just because you want to zone out from the holidays and all the nonsense going on, right? And there's so many times that we just try to convince ourselves that our poor choices are not that bad. But if we feel the need to justify it, and I know I talked about this a lot, that it's a good reminder, especially during the holidays, and we have fallen, and many times I have fallen into that evil trap, okay? I'm the first to raise my hand in that, but we always, always have a way out. God will always give us the strength to overcome or make the next right decision. But the thing is, we have to want to. We have to show up to that fight. We have to engage it. And honestly, once I started engaging and once I started dragging my flesh to do what I knew was right, I slowly, ladies, had more strength. And I had the grace to go to those broken places within me and to deal with them, to cut off that relationship, to turn off the TV, to stop the addiction. I mean, this is all serious stuff that has lifelong effects, the things that I am talking about. And some of you right now listening know exactly, and I mean exactly what I'm talking about. And since my early 20s, okay, I really started this devotion to Saint Therese of Lisieux. And that really helped me, just finding that saint that I connected with and feeling small and having just to have complete trust in God in all situations. And I feel like that was me in that time in my life. And it's just grown in a huge instrumental way in my life. And I prayed to her and she helped me to get through that. But ladies, what you do on earth right now holds heavenly weight and it matters. And we have been given that gift, yes, of our free will, okay? But God the Father is never going to force himself and his will on you. But your yes, ladies, right now is everything. Your obedience is vital. And God will give you the grace, the courage to face your fears, to get through whatever he's asking you to. And yes, it's hard. Giving that yes and everything over to God, it's a big deal. It's hard. I get it. But at the same time, ladies, if I look back at my life, I am an abuse survivor. I'm a woman from a broken family who is almost crushed by the weight of my sinful lifestyle, okay? And the eternal Father, okay? The eternal Father, in his faithfulness to me, gave me so many second chances. I mean, it's silly for me to even say it was like second chances. It was like 20th, 50th chances. But I finally, one day, it just like, it stayed with me. And I got up, but I stayed up. And I didn't get knocked down back into that kind of sinful behavior and fall back into living out of my wounds. Like, there is victory, ladies. There is healing. No matter what the evil one is telling you, you can have victory in your life over that thing, that one thing that keeps knocking you down, that one thing that you keep having to go to confession for, that one thing that you feel like it's never going to end. And I'm telling you right now, there is an end. There is a light at the end of that tunnel. There is a light in that despair and that hopelessness. But again, we have to show up to our fight, because ladies, the life that God wants for you and the life that God wants to provide and give you and just break chains and the bondage and just maybe generational stuff that may be in your life that has been haunting you up to this day right now, it can be broken. You can be healed, and he is calling you to himself. And maybe you don't feel worthy. Maybe you want to reject the grace. Maybe you're just like, how can I even face God with all the things that have happened to me or things that I've done myself? It doesn't matter. I let sin for so long keep me from God, and that backward thinking that I have to be a saint then he's going to love me, then he's going to accept me, then he'll help me, then he'll give me grace. No, it's backward thinking. And I lived out of that wound for so long, and finally I put my pride aside and I went into that adoration chapel coming from a party, literally probably smelling like that party, and I just surrendered. I was done. I was so beat up and just from the world, everything. I just knew it was it. That I had nowhere else to go. I needed to go to God at that point in my life. And he loved me, embraced me, and it changed. It can change everything. And during this Advent season, we are in Advent right now, ladies. Okay. It's actually quite a short season in the church of Advent. And I don't know if it's the shortest season that we have in the church, but from we start Advent and we go to Jesus' birthday and it just begins Christmas and just it's beginning. But right now, this is a time of preparation for change. This is a time that you can gain victory over your life. It is a new season, and it can be an absolutely new season in your entire life. And that is partly why I wrote and I did this book that I did, because I know there is victory on the other side of the sin, on the other side of the brokenness, and on the other side of all of that yuck that you hold in and that maybe you don't want to face. Ladies, there is peace waiting for you and victory and a new life on the other side of that. All of the women in here in this book and this, and even the chapter that I'm pulling this information out of, it's to help strengthen you and to literally just drive home that message. You are not alone, and that God can do anything. And it doesn't matter how broken, how messed up, what family, where you've been, what you've done, where you've come from, that ladies, all that matters right now is where you go from here. So I just want to encourage you, let you know I'm praying for you. I love you, ladies. I pray for my listeners. Every time I go into adoration, I take you into my daily masses with me, because I know all of us, every single one of you. And even if you're not a woman, I'm praying for the priests listening, the men that listen, but that you're not facing this alone, but that we are in it together, and women helping women, people helping people right now, because everybody is facing a battle. So know you are being prayed for, and that God is going to help you. But like I said, let's show up. It's time to face it, own it, and heal it, ladies. And that's why I wanted to just kind of revisit my Women Made new book. And I wanted to pull things from my first chapter because I never really talked about it before. I interviewed all the different contributors in the book, but I never really kind of dove in to my own chapter. So a lot of what I'm saying right now is one of the chapters that I wrote out of the Women Made new book. And the next chapter that I will get into later is about spiritual warfare, because that's another huge component of all of this that every single one of us is facing. Every man, woman, and child will face spiritual warfare if it's not just in simple little tiny temptations when you're young, to really facing some serious temptations that lead into addictions and vices when we're older. But there are things that God has given us within the church, and things that I talk about within the Women Made New chapter that I wrote in this book, that will help you overcome and give you the weapons and the tools to kind of fight that on a daily basis. So I thought that was really important. But we'll get into that chapter later. But right now, I want to actually get into a chapter that Catherine Hadrow has written. And this is part of my interview with her.
When you live out God's unique call of holiness in your life, it's going to look so uniquely you and unrepeatable. You know, right? Like Mother Angelica is so unrepeatable. And I wonder if you feel this way, Crystallina, like being part of just, you know, the EWTN family, and we have this woman who's a pioneer. It's like, we aren't going to ever be Mother Angelica. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, no, like we have different unique gifts that God gave us. And, you know, it's just, we can't, you don't try to be someone else. You know, she strove to be who God designed her to be. And that's why she shines so brightly and clearly.
Right. And isn't that the opposite of what the world wants women to be, Catherine? They want us all to look like all those women in Hollywood or the magazines or on Instagram, perfect photos of that's who you need to be. And the world wants to have that bar that we need to fit up to. Right. And that's it, when it's such a lie, because God made us so uniquely that no one could fit into anybody else's shoes, and that he gave you those unique gifts that are going to help people in such a unique way that nobody can repeat or replace that, right? And even if they did, it still wouldn't be the same, because it's not what God gave you. And I want women to know that, because again, there is so much comparison and there is so much competition that, again, there is a place for everybody at God's table, and that whatever it is he's asking you to do, and even if he's asking the woman right next to you to do the same thing, it will look completely different.
Thank you for saying that, because I just, and Saint Therese spoke about that and wrote about that as well, about how, you know, we're not all called to be roses, like some, but if you look at a garden, it's the variety of all the different flowers that make it beautiful. And I just think the evil one must be trembling, because when women come together united and not divided, I mean, that's when we're going to transform the world. And we need to show the world what true femininity looks like. You know, we need to show the world the beauty of the feminine genius.
And building each other up. And there is power in that, right? And God is in that. The Blessed Mother is in that. And the virtue and the grace that he wants us to show the world as well through that, I think it's powerful, very powerful right now. Now, with that all being said, you no longer do the Pro-Life Weekly anymore. Right. And there's someone else that has taken your place. What? Tell us about all of that, because we're all interested and I want to know the ins and outs too.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Oh, yes. Let's see. Okay. Well, listen in. So I write about this a little bit in the chapter. And a big part of the chapter that I contributed is this idea of, you need to stop people pleasing and start listening to the Lord. Stop listening to others and trying to please others. Jesus was not a people pleaser. He followed God's will.
That's what we're all called to do. It is so true. Could you just put that and highlight that? It's wonderful.
Yes. And so I wrote about, you know, how I really struggled with that truth when I first took on EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. But Crystallina, I struggled with that when I was discerning whether or not to leave 5 years later.
You can imagine.
And basically it was, you know, you know, and I hope there are other listeners who can relate to this. I imagine there are. When you just feel this kind of tug on your heart of, it's time for the next season.
Yes.
Think it's time for the next season. And
there's a moment of sadness, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Yeah. And it's like, but I'm good. Like, I have this down. I know what to expect. I can do this. I don't want to say easily, but I mean, kind of when you get in a rhythm and a pattern and a comfort zone. But I just kind of continue to feel this little tug on my heart. And as I continue to pray on that and press on that, it became clearer. And Jesus did make very clear to me, like, I need you to set this down. I need you to set this down. And that was affirmed by, I like to call it my personal board of directors, my spiritual director, yes. My husband, my mother, you know, and they all really affirmed that. And I think that's important when discerning such a major life decision. Take your time and don't do it alone. Ask those you trust and love, as well, but you have to listen to what Jesus is telling you. And so I made that decision, and my last show was in December of 2021. I can't believe it. And I will tell you, Crystalina, the Lord has shown me that He is with me in this. And as much as I felt like, really, Lord, like this timing when the Supreme Court is taking up this Dobbs
yes.
abortion case, really, Lord, like when we're on the cusp of possibly overturning Roe v. Wade, how is this the time that I'm supposed to step away from EWTN Pro Life Weekly? And as I'm saying that now, I'm actually thinking of Mother Angelica's voice. And if you don't do the ridiculous, God can't do the miraculous.
Boom.
Because it really felt ridiculous. Yeah. But I have felt the Lord's affirmation, and certain things have happened in this new year, especially in my family, where I've seen, okay, Lord, I see why I was called to step away. And I've had to be with my family in, you know, very profound ways that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. And Prudence Robertson, who is the new host of Pro Life Weekly, she's been doing a fantastic job. And I love that I'm still part of the EWTN family. And I've been traveling. I think I've traveled like 10, 11 times already this year. And wow. I've been able to I feel the Lord with me and the Holy Spirit just guiding me in this new season, as scary as it was. And so I kind of share a little bit about that discernment journey in the chapter, because I had to turn off those other voices and say, okay, Jesus, I trust in you. I'm going to do this trust fall with you. You know, when I first took on the job of Pro Life Weekly, I felt so insecure about those who were criticizing that.
Uh-huh.
And now as I was discerning to leave, I had to not listen to the voices who were like, how can you leave? You know? And so it's a lesson, I'll be honest with you, I'm still grappling with, and it'll probably be a lifelong battle. I'm just such a people pleaser, and I know I'm not alone in that. And so I hope that my chapter kind of speaks to women who relate to that, who don't like the uncomfortable and who just like to make others happy. But again, that's not what we're called to do.
Right?
Like, saints unsettled others.
I love it. So true. How many women out there, okay, listening, can relate to people pleasing? And if we're in an auditorium right now or a stadium, I bet you 9 times out of 10, all of us would be raising our hands. Because everyone has a certain level of that in their lives that they do, and they have to kind of catch themselves, or maybe they're living through that wound right now and they don't even realize how much that controls them. But your chapter is beautiful because it brings it all to the forefront. Mm. And you have to ask yourself those questions of how much am I letting people dictate what it is I do and where I'm at in my life right now, which is a big deal. And that's not who we're supposed to be following. Again, we are here with Catherine Hadro discussing my new book that she is a part of. and it is called Women Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back, so stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert. Thank you for joining us. And we are here with Catherine Hadrow, and we are discussing my new book that she is a part of, Women Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And we were just talking about, for those of you that are just tuning in, about people pleasing. And Catherine's chapter within the book really touches on that and brings it to the forefront. And Catherine, don't you think it is so interesting how when God is calling you to do something, the devil is right there with people and situations to pull you away from it. And then when you're trying to get away from something, God has something else for you, the devil wants to keep you stuck there.
Absolutely. And it's confusing.
It's tempting. It's a temptation.
It totally is, because the fact of the matter is, it wasn't like I was leaving a bad thing. It wasn't like, oh, Lord, yes, you're trying to take me away from this bad thing. No, like hosting EWTN Pro Life Weekly is a good thing.
That's the thing. It was an awesome thing. Yes.
And so that's what made it all the more confusing. Like, really, Lord? And a few thoughts with that. I think that's why it's so important to frequent the sacraments.
Yes.
I really believe that if you're regularly going to confession, you can really trust even more so what you're hearing in prayer, and really trust even more so when you feel that peace. You know, if you're living in a lot of sin and you haven't been to confession in a while, the devil's going to want to keep you there, and you might feel false peace when you're not supposed to. And so it's just, you know, one encouragement I want to give to our fellow listeners is, if you're discerning something major, step one, go to confession, you know, get your soul clean. And I always hear the Lord's voice more loudly when I've cleaned my soul. I can hear him even more loudly. And that was huge for me.
Yeah. Listen up, ladies. These are weapons that we need to wield in our lives to truly follow the path God is asking us to go on. So the first one is confession with your discernment process. What was next?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of go back to how I said my board of directors earlier before
I love
the break,
that.
How,
yes.
You know, before, when I felt something in prayer, I wanted to have that affirmed by those who know and love me best, including my spiritual director, and my husband, my mother, and my best, closest of friends who I knew just had my back. And that gave me that further affirmation. And so I think this is, you know, if you can, go try and find a good spiritual director so that you can really grapple with this and hear, okay, this is what I'm hearing in prayer. Can you affirm, is this God's voice? Like, is this what God's voice sounds like? Because this is the thing, we all bring our own wounds and flaws into how we discern God's voice, you know, and it can get distorted that way. And so it's great if you have a spiritual director who can guide you and remind you that the Lord's voice is affirming and encouraging and peaceful, right? And so that's also just another key, is to have what you're hearing in prayer, have that affirmed by others.
Absolutely. Can you maybe share with everyone, how did you find your spiritual director? Because some people don't even know how to go about that process.
Oh, man. Okay. So I'll be honest with you. So in college, I had one spiritual director who was a woman who worked at the church. And I was very involved with the Catholic Student Union over at Florida State University. So there was this woman who was just such a mentor to me. And she was my spiritual director when I was in college, but then I moved away. And I'll be honest, I didn't have a spiritual director for a few years.
Yeah.
And
it's not a normal thing Catholics have these days either.
You're right.
So that's why it's not the norm. It should be, but it's not, because it's not something we're hearing from the pulpit, let's be honest, you know, that we should be doing in our lives.
Exactly. And it's not that obvious. Like, yes. Not every priest is out there, hey, ask me to be your spiritual director, you know? And so it kind of takes, it's
almost next level courageous. Spirituality, right?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
And so when I got to DC, I'll be honest with you, I kind of had to try out, that sounds bad, but like try out different priests. You have to find a spiritual director who you're compatible with and who you know is going to be guiding you and leading you.
You just had to find the right fit. You had to find the right fit, right? And that's normal for anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And just to give yourself the permission to do that. And I've met with priests before and we're both kind of like, okay, let's see how this feels. And we'll, you know, no hurt feelings if we, you know, decide it's not going to work out with this. And then I did that for a little bit. And then it again went a little bit of time without a spiritual director. But a few years ago, I'm so glad you asked this question. I never get the chance to speak about it. I was actually reading St. Faustina's diary and she writes frequently about the need to have a good spiritual director. She had spiritual directors. And again, she had a very different walk of life. You know, she is a cloistered nun. I am a married woman, but nonetheless, like I felt really called to have a spiritual director. And she wrote about the importance of it. And she wrote about how she prayed about which person to have as her spiritual director. Lord, send me who's the priest you want as my spiritual director. So I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, like, who is it? And the Lord very specifically put a very specific priest on my mind.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, I have clarity on that. I'm going to reach out to that priest. It's a little awkward. It's very vulnerable.
It is awkward.
Say,
be honest. Yeah. So if you feel that, ladies out there, yeah.
Like, yes. Yes, it is. It's, you're making yourself vulnerable.
That's right.
And so I reached out and he said yes. And so we've been meeting for about 2 years. And I will say again, just been huge as I've discerned different things and walked through different things in my life to have this very prayerful priest. I know, and he can call me out on different things as well. I think it's good to have a spiritual director who will challenge you, you know?
Yes.
And I think for me, I'm very scrupulous. I am very hard on myself. And he reminds me of God's mercy, which is what I need.
We all need God's mercy.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think it's good that if they're not being hard on you, what's the point?
Not
to be mean or judgmental, but that you really are going there for guidance and
Absolutely.
God's right direction. Sometimes it's not always easy. And sometimes you want to baby yourself, especially mm-hmm. in spirituality and what you're being asked. And you sometimes need that person to say, oh no, that's not how this is going to go. That's not what God's asking of you. He's asking you of this, you know?
Exactly.
But it's good to have that clarity. And again, it is scary. It is hard.
Yeah.
It's very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, especially if they're your confessor too.
Yeah.
And that is even more so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Helps you. Talk about vulnerability,
right.
You know, but at the same time, if you really want to grow and get close to Jesus, well, it's time to step up
and
you get that spiritual director, especially in such confusing times where everything is so gray.
That's right. And I love, Kristalina, that you're at, like, that we can have this real talk like this, like woman to woman about, okay, so what does your life look like, you know, in this spiritual climb, in this, as we're striving to be saints, like, what do you do? What are your practical tools? I love that you're asking those questions. And again, I feel like I'm so grateful for the book you wrote, Women Made New, because I feel like, again, I said it at the top of the show, but this is a handbook for women. This is a handbook for women of all different walks of life and different ages and different vocations for us to come together. And I mean, if we're not sharing this, what's the point? You know, like, let's help each other out in this journey.
That's right. Because who is living this life perfectly? Who's
right.
doing this perfectly? And you definitely aren't going to be doing it alone, you know, because that's not how God created us, but to help each other and lift each other up. And I brought so many different ministries and women. Mm. And when I called each one of them up, I actually just, because I'm like, Lord, what am I going to say to these women when I ask them to do this? It just doesn't seem normal. And he really is so amazing because he gave me the right words. And I knew each one of these women had something, just one piece of advice, if they could say to women, the masses, if they could give one piece of advice with everything that they've seen and everything that they've done and been through in their own lives, what is that? What is that gem that they could give women to help them in their own lives? And I ask women to go to God, to pray, what is it God wants you to give? If you could give that one piece of advice. And let me tell you, the chapters that came back were phenomenal. I was in tears of just some of them and just, wow, and just touched my heart and my mind and just, it was really beautiful. And I have Lisa Cotter is one of the contributors, and she wrote about the feminine genius. And I'll be interviewing her too. I'll be interviewing all of these women over the next 13 weeks. But it's just beautiful to see how it all comes together. Everybody, and there's everyone can relate to this. And it doesn't matter how old, I don't care if you're 100 reading this or you're in college, just starting off your life or graduating from high school. There is something in here for you.
Okay, this question came to my mind, if you don't mind me asking, but it's like you had this beautiful vision and invitation for all these women. And I'm so excited to dive through all the chapters and see these gems, as you call them, from these other women. For you, what was the most unexpected part of all of this? Like, you had this calling to put this book together. As it came together, what like stood out to you?
The willingness of all of these women to come together, because it seems so out of the ordinary, let's be honest, right? Because everyone can be so territorial. And even with friendships and your family and just what you're doing in your life, women have a tendency to be very territorial with their stuff. You know, have you found that? I have found that. I'm not like that. I probably was back in the day, but I kind of shed that. But they were so willing to come together and just like me, they have a heart for women and they just wanted to help other women struggling. And I think we're in such an amazing time in the church where people's hearts and minds are open to what God is calling them to do. They just don't know how to do it or where to go. And you're right, Catherine. It's wonderful that you said that, is that it is a handbook, because I kind of wanted it to be this bridge of a path to all these different other ministries. Because even when I was going through my own healing process, there were certain ministries I didn't know were out there that could have helped me at the time. And if I could just give these women who are so hurting and lost or need help or know they need to do something and they just don't know what that is or where to go, like, well, read this book and maybe one of these women or one of these ministries is going to touch your heart and God is really going to show you which way to go. And maybe they'll go to Sarah Swoffer's website or Lisa Cotter, or they'll find information on you because they've gone through an abortion or they're struggling through a divorce and they need to see Layla Miller and go see her videos or book or whatever it is. There's so many different areas. I even have Joy Pinto that she came on board and just talking about the changes of life and how you can't just stay the same, but God is constantly asking you to move forward and move and change with the seasons of life and how we've all experienced different seasons. We're all in different seasons right now, but sometimes that transition is hard, just like you talked about. And she really gives the most beautiful advice on how to get through that and recognize when it's happening. And how many of us can relate to that, right?
Yes. And I feel like two things come to my mind. Like, first off, I feel like the kind of book where I could read it this year and one person's chapter really stands out to me. And it's what I needed to hear this year. And it's wisdom that I cling to. And then maybe 5 years from now, I pick it up and read it again. And whoa, Holy Spirit speaks to me through someone else's chapter. I love that it's women in different seasons of life, because as you've been saying, we're all going to walk through different seasons.
Yes.
And something that's relevant to me now, maybe there's something else that's relevant to me a few years from now, or, you know, to a different friend of mine. And another theme that seems to be coming up is this importance of healing, and that this book is reflections on healing as well. And it really seems that in all of our various journeys and to be saints, healing's a big part of that, isn't that? Isn't it?
It really is, because I was so handicapped for so many years because I rejected my own healing process because I didn't want to face certain things. And certain things were unknown to me that I had to face that were really, really, I was living out of that wound. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my willingness to say yes to Jesus to walk through that healing process that I was able to come out on the other side, more the woman God was calling me to be whole and strong and able to actually follow that path of what he created me for. Because before then, I pretty much was kind of handicapping myself with my own wounds and baggage and all the emotion that tied me down with that. But once I was able to just face it, own it, heal it, those are the three things. I always tell them you have to face it and you have to own kind of what happened to you, which is hard, but then you have to heal it. And once you get through that process of the healing, and now am I 100% healed and whole and perfectly made right now? Absolutely not. But I am not what I was, and I will never be that again. And God really healed that. And a lot of things that I was ashamed of that happened to me, either when I was a little girl or in high school, I'm no longer ashamed of those. Like, God really does heal you in such a profound way that I can sit here and talk on this radio with who knows how many people listening and not be ashamed in the least of things that happened to me or talk about them, because there is that profound healing that took place. And I let Jesus in those wounds. I let Jesus in those dark places. I wanted to hide from everyone, including him. And he went in there and he healed that. And everything I feel that was almost taken from me at the time and that I struggle with, he kind of replaced it and gave it back to me 100-fold. And I feel like God wants to do that to everyone. This isn't just me, or I'm not unique in some way. I am, but God wants to do that in all of the women out there who are struggling, and not to be afraid, and don't let the devil keep you captive in your own fears. If I could say anything, do not be afraid, because God, if he's asking you to do something, he will give you the grace and the strength and walk with you through it and to get it accomplished on the other side, whatever that may be.
Amen. Oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I feel like healing is so messy, but it leads to glory. And it's, I mean, Jesus was born in a stable. He comes into the mess,
right?
He comes into the mess. And I just talk about women made new, right? It all makes sense about how we are all renewed in the Lord. And I am so grateful for the fact that you took the work to heal on yourself, Crystalina. Look at the fruit that has borne for so many others. And I praise God for your journey and for your witness. And so that, look how many other women you bring to the Lord with you. And it is this really amazing truth, isn't it? That the Lord wants to do that in each one of us.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine if women really listen on such a, like, took it so seriously, what God is saying to them in their heart, what God wants to transform and do in you, right? And to become a force to be reckoned with. unafraid, because you don't need to be, because Jesus is with you. But I do understand the starting baby steps of that process is very scary, but you got to fight through it and just go, just cling to Jesus. Go to adoration, ladies. I really talk about that in the book. My book is incredibly Eucharistic, and it seems like all of the women are very Eucharistic, and that's where their power is derived from, is Jesus himself. How can it not be? Because anything that is Eucharistic has life with it, right?
Yes.
And all of these women have the fruit of that, for sure.
Totally. One thing that I would just like to add there that came to my mind was how, you know, you talk about such a big theme of this book is really every single woman examining what is it that the Lord wants me to do, you know, and where am I in my walk and what tools do I need? And that kind of ties in, you know, just with the theme of my chapters about not people pleasing. Mm-hmm. If you get caught up in people pleasing, you're not going to be able to do the mission the Lord has set out for you. You know, when you have clarity with your mission, you need to focus on that.
I just love Catherine Hadro. She is so sweet and just so genuine. And now we are going to hear from Father Joseph Mary Wolf.
When I asked you to write about just anything, whatever it is that God put on your heart, Father, I was shocked when you came back with beauty tips. And it was awesome. Let me just say that right there. And I didn't expect that. And you were one of the first ones to get your chapter in. I can't believe how fast you turned that around. And boom, there it was. I remember, do you know, when I received your chapter, I actually had COVID. And I was so sick in bed. And I was having such a hard time. And your chapter came in. And it was so uplifting and such an encouragement in such a hard time in our household. It was beautiful. I remember I cried. I'm going to be honest. I cried when I had your chapter. And I'm so excited for women to read this because it's not normal beauty tips, the surfacey, worldly beauty tips, obviously, ladies. We're talking about some really hardcore spiritual beauty tips all of us can really use. So, Father, can you please tell us what those are?
Yes, and it really comes out of my experience in counseling women in different states of their life. And I was thinking of a particular about a young woman that I had met, and she really wanted to get married. She wanted to have a family, and thanks be to God that did happen. And maybe my beauty tips helped her toward that end.
I believe it. I believe that.
Because I noticed, one of the things I noticed about her, she never smiled or she didn't smile very much. And so I said to her, I'm going to give you a beauty tip here, a couple of beauty tips. And I know it's going to help you, that that enhances every woman's beauty. And so I said a smile and modesty and virtue. You know, the more that we grow in our love of God, and I use the example in this chapter, that the moon is most beautiful when it reflects fully, when it's a full moon reflecting the light of the sun. Right. And so it is with us too. We are most beautiful when we reflect the light of God in ourselves, in our souls. The more we grow in virtue, the more attractive we are, if you will, because people are drawn to the light, who is Christ. And the more that we can grow in that life of God, the more beautiful we really become, because He is the source of all beauty. He is beauty. So that's one of the transcendentals, which means one of the attributes of God is beauty, truth, and goodness. And those are the things that we should always pursue and that we want for ourselves too. We want to be formed in the truth. We want to access what is truly beautiful, which will draw us and lift us up to God. I think of sacred music. I think of beautiful art, but also a beautiful family life and those sorts of things. And love, of course, is something that beautifies us.
You know, it's true that you are attracted to that holiness and that virtue when you do see it in someone, because it was that talk where that young gentleman got up that changed my entire life. And I recognize that virtue in him. And he was unashamed because he had God's mercy and love and that virtue you're talking about. And I wanted it so badly. And he was so honest, but he wasn't ashamed because God had forgiven him. And that's just one example for someone who is wondering, well, what does that even look like? That I was in such darkness, Father, and nobody could get me out of that pit. And trust me, my mother tried.
Yeah.
But his light pierced that darkness I was in. And it drew me out, and I went to confession, and I started over. But if he didn't have that, it wouldn't have changed my life the way it did. So the way someone just lives in their testimony and living out of virtue really can be transformative to the people around them.
I remember Father Dubé, who was a great spiritual teacher on the spiritual life. He was spiritual guide for many religious communities and had been programs on EWTN. And he talked about the encounter we have with people, and there was one that he never forgot. He was at a monastery, and there was one of the men who had lived for a time in the monastery and then got permission to live as a hermit. And he just happened to cross paths with him for just a minute or two early one morning. And he said it changed his life just because of the intimacy that this man had with God, that God was evident there, that he experienced the presence of God alive in this man. And he talked about how the impact that we will have on people, and if we have this union with God, there's something more. There's something more than just our own personalities there at work. It's our personalities, but elevated. And there's something of the divine alive in the soul that's united with God that just has this impact. Like the Lord himself said, I'm the light of the world, he said, but he also said, you are the light of the world, and let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your heavenly Father.
And some people hear that and think, well, I can't be that. I can't be the light of God to the world. And they really doubt that because of maybe how they've lived or the sins that they carry, Father. What would you say to those people?
I just read a quote from St. Augustine. And of course, he had a difficult past, a sinful past, which he was quite open about. But in his confessions, he said that he felt he just wanted to live a hermit kind of life, but he was called to the priesthood, and he was encouraged by the bishop of Hippo, of which he became eventually the bishop of Hippo, to be ordained to the priesthood. And he thought, no, my sin past is too sinful. But he said the grace of God encouraged him to say yes to that call. So every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. Right?
That's right. I quote that. Yes.
So God doesn't say, okay, once you're perfect, then come follow me. No, he says, come follow me and I'll make you perfect. And I'll make you more perfect. So we look at him. We rely on his grace, not on ourselves, but on him. And so we can go forward, not because we have a perfect past, but because he's perfect. And he's going to lead us. He's going to supply us with the grace we need. And even sanctify us, as Mother Angelica said, through the scraps of our lives. You know, the things that we would like not to bring up or bring to the Lord, or things we'd rather remain hidden, those very scraps will be the means that he will nourish us and sanctify us and help us to grow.
I want to thank Father and Catherine for contributing to Women Made New, and I hope some of the wisdom from them really helped you in your path, in your journey, and what's going on with you in your life right now. And if you would like to order Women Made New, you can do that at the EWTN Religious Catalog. I hope you enjoy the next week we have here in Advent, and know you will be in my prayers. And we are going to close with a prayer from Father Joseph.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the gift of femininity and the great blessing that that is to family life and to all of our lives, the enrichment that it brings to us. We thank you for our spiritual mothers, for our Blessed Mother Mary, for Mother Angelica, and the sisters, for all women who are mothers, those who are single. And we ask your blessing upon them, help them to grow in your life and your love. And help us one day to be united with you forever in heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen.